This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we pause to honor and remember Bobby Jenks, who passed away at the age of 44 following a courageous battle with cancer.
When I hear the news this morning, it was like, wow, everything went to my mind. You know, most of the players I'm talking to right now, they like crush.
And it looks like Bobby Jenks warming in the bullpen for the Sox.
Bobby was kind of ahead of his time. I mean, there's a lot of guys now that throw like Bobby, but like when he first came up, I mean, he was embarrassing guys.
Scouts will tell you the best pure power in the majors comes out of the right arm of Bobby Jenks. It had him as high as 102.
He was like a mythical figure, this Bobby Jenks guy that throws 100 and is out of the woods of eastern Washington, Idaho, up there, and you're just like, what is this guy all about? And then you got to know Bobby, and he was had a great heart.
Bobby Jenks will pitch the ninth for a reliever with these fans on their feet. I can tell you firsthand, this is as good as it gets in the ninth.
The man-child, the monster, the biggest monster of the midway. You know, Sasquatch, what, I mean, this guy brings it.
He gone.
Let's go to Ron on the south side on the Score.
My memories of him is with eyes, he would do the hand gesture.
Guillen looks down to his bullpen on his way out, and he makes the sign to the bullpen, give me the wide, tall guy.
Ben is in Queens.
What I remember about Bobby Jenks more than anything else was that 60-foot, 3-inch curveball.
See if Jenks brings it back another hammer. The 1-2. Curveball swung and I missed strike three. He's out. Three fastballs, two curveballs, and the last one just disappeared.
That was the Bobby Jenks that I remember.
White Sox three outs away from their first World Series title in 88 years. Bobby Jenks, the 24-year-old right-hander, takes over. And what does this mean to the South Side? A collection of neighborhoods like Beverly, Mount Greenwood, Hyde Park, back of the yards, Canaryville, Bridgeport.
Jenks with a deep breath. The okay is the sign. From the stretch with a runner at second. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Palmeiro. A ground ball past Jenks up the middle of the infield. Uribe has it. He throws. Out! Out! A White Sox winner and a world championship!
Marty in Highland Park.
Bobby Jenks will live forever in the most famous and important photograph any Sox fan will ever see.
The White Sox have won the World Series and they're mobbing each other on the field!
With AJ jumping on them.
The celebration is on the mound right now.
I just remember I didn't want Jenks to jump on top of me.
Bobby Jenks has tied a major league record! Retiring 41 consecutive hitters! Unbelievable.
He was just an anomaly of unfathomable proportions. And as a teammate, he was the best. He's just a good person.
And the Chicago White Sox are the American League Central champion. What a job pitching by Jenks and by Jenks.
You play for the love of the game, the joy of it. It's what I love to do.
Bobby, at the end of the day, meant well, and he will be sorely, sorely missed, man.
Another well-executed, lovely send-off by our guy, Chris Tannehill, talking about Bobby Jenks. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are very excited to talk with Dan Plesac, who has done incredible job on CHSN and obviously on MLB Network. You can catch him there, too. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, I haven't been on in a while. You know what? It's nice to be back on in the airwaves in the Windy City. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's way too damn long for the Crown Point, Indiana native Dan Plesac.
A region
so,
rat.
That's right. So yes. Thank you. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed hearing that stuff and thinking about Bobby Jenks as we have enjoyed thinking about Bobby. And it's got to be a pretty special thing to be a closer, to get a last out on a World Series, huh, Dan?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you go back to that 2005 team, and there were so many characters and great players and so many cool things happened. You know, think of Mark Burley, that flip between his legs to Paul Konerko, probably the best play I've ever seen a pitcher make. And they just had a little bit of everything, man. They were everything that the South Side of Chicago was all about, right? Punch in the jaw, wearing the black and white. And and Bobby Jenks was such a big part of that. And I thought Aaron Rowan hit it the best. He was, before his time, what every team is looking for in their high-leverage guys now. Guys that throw 98 to 100, four-seam fastballs, hard-breaking balls, come out breathing fire. And, you know, Bobby Jenks is going to go down forever. White Sox fans are going to remember him, the last out of the World Series. And I talked about it yesterday on the air. That was a really good Houston Astros team that they just dismantled and made them look like an average team. You know, you forget Roger Clemens was on that team. Andy Pettit was on that team. Bagwell, Biggio. They had some Hall of Fame type players, and they made quick work of a really good team.
They did, and I think you're right about Jenks, and maybe that's one of the reasons, along with a bunch of others, why he resonates so much with White Sox fans. The idea of this dude is coming in throwing gas, and in some cases is daring you to hit it at 100, 101 miles an hour, and then making you look silly by a little Uncle Charlie action. It's that combination and it working after having failed for him in Anaheim, to see a guy just kind of be rushed up and to make that type of impact is incredible.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing about him too is a guy like Bobby Jenks resonates with the average fan, right? It's the beautiful thing about baseball. Great players, great pitchers. They come in all different shapes and sizes. And when you look at Bobby Jenks, intimidating guy, a big guy, he wasn't a guy that struck you built the way that players are all built today, right? I mean, you look at right fielders, you look at shortstops, they're big, they're 6'2", they're 225, they have 3% body fat. They're in all kinds of training and metrics, and they're so well skilled and put together. And Bobby Jenks was a guy that you look like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I mean it in the most complimentary way. He looked the guy like the guy that was on your high school baseball team, right? Kind of a little bit overweight. And, you know, you looked at him, you wouldn't go, oh, man, that guy's a specimen. But, man, it was just he had a rocket for an arm. And for a young guy that didn't have a lot of experience, getting those last three outs of a big league game are the toughest three outs to get. I've played and pitched in every role imaginable. I started a couple of games. I closed for many years. I pitched the seventh. I pitched the eighth. When you go out there in the ninth, there's not a safety net. You make your own trouble. You have to get out of your own trouble. You come in the seventh. You come in the eighth. You have one of those nights you don't have it. And all of a sudden, the manager realizes it. Pitching coach realizes it. They get on that horn. They call out there to get a guy or they get a couple of guys up. And they get out of there. You get out of there before all hell breaks loose. But when you're the guy, when that door opens, you got a decision to make. You're either going to be the hunter or the huntee. And Bobby Jenks, when that door opened, he went out to hunt hitters.
Good old number 19, Dan Plesac, joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. 18 years in the big leagues, an all-star three times as a member of the Brewers in the late 80s with two different 30-save seasons, so the man knows of which he speaks. You were awesome last week at Dodger Stadium. I was watching a couple late nights with you and John Schriffen, Dan, and you were talking about the bullpen at Dodger Stadium, just the way it's situated. And with the acoustics of it, you were saying that, like, you could really hear the ball pop in the catcher's mitt, and it made you feel confident, like you were throwing extra hard as you walked out of that bullpen. That was an awesome image to think about. Tell us more about that.
Of all the bullpens in baseball, it's situated down in that corner. You have the bleachers to your left and the bleachers to your right, and the field of play is right in front of you, and the wall behind it is a metal wall. And, man, if the catcher catches that thing in the pocket of a glove, man, it sounds like you are throwing 100 miles an hour. And I needed that towards the end. My last couple of years with the Phillies, I needed that 88 to sound like 98 to make me feel good. And the cool thing about it, too, the fans, when you look up to your right, they're kind of way up there. They're about 30 feet up in the air. And so you really can't hear all the razzing and all the stuff that goes on when you're warming up normally in a bullpen. So many of the bullpens today are above where you're throwing your bullpen, like at guaranteed rate at the Wrigley Field, and the same thing in Philadelphia, where they're right above you, and they're screaming, they're yelling, they're throwing cups, they're throwing napkins, they're doing anything they can to distract you. And Dodger Stadium is the one place that when you warm up the field, you're looking right at the field. You're in direct line with the pitcher, you're in direct line with home plate. You can hear the crowd reaction. You can see the call from the umpire, balls and strikes. And it's almost like you're like looking through a tunnel at the field you're about to run in. And the acoustics are by far the best in baseball. I mean, you hit the pocket of a glove throwing 88 and you feel like you're Nolan Ryan. It's the best bullpen in baseball to warm up in.
Oh, man, that's so cool. What was the worst? What was a really bad one?
Fenway, and it isn't even close. And I tell you another one I didn't like. I didn't like Wrigley when the mounds were on the field, because you were always worried that if you were going to throw your curveball, your slider, and you were going to bounce it, it was going to roll towards home plate. They'd have to call timeout, and everybody in the opposing dugout and your team were looking like, man, what are you doing down there? And so you were always a little apprehensive to really turn a curveball loose or a slider loose, and it was really tough. If you were a right-hander and a lefty, two guys were one run up at the same time, right? And so what you didn't want to do, if you were a lefty and you were the visitor at Wrigley Field, you were down the third base side, it felt like your arm was going to hit that concrete wall or the fans could reach out and touch you. But you had to pitch off of that side, because if you were a lefty pitching on the mound closest to the field and the righty, you would have two arms that were beaten together. You almost felt like your arms are going to hit if you threw at the same time.
Oh,
my
God.
I thought that was the most difficult place, and there's no place like Fenway. I mean, you're right by the pesky pole. They're standing right behind you. And most bullpens, at least even at Wrigley, you could stand 10, 12 feet behind the mound and long toss a few. But at Fenway, there's that wall there that separates the two bullpens, and you have about 8 feet of room behind the mound to where the stands are. So there's no long tossing there. When you get up there, you're throwing at 60 feet, 6 inches.
I bet there's some young Cub fans who don't even remember that the bullpens were down the line at Wrigley in foul territory. And you essentially sat with your back right to the first row of fans with no netting. Right, Dan? What was that like?
Oh, yeah. And what made it bad when it got hot in July and August, the sun was behind the third base grandstand. And your neck felt like leather by September 1st because that sun was beating on you. You almost had to wear a jacket or a hoodie to keep the sun from hitting the back of your neck.
Wow, that is awful. You were also in the house for Clayton Kershaw. What was it like to be a part of MLB history and maybe seeing the last guy who's going to do that?
Yeah, I think Chris Sale is like 472 strikeouts away, and then Gerrit Cole is somewhere in the low 700s away. I don't know if Chris Sale, he has that rib fracture right now. The Braves are hoping he'll be back towards the middle or later part of August. I think they're going to slow play him because obviously they're not going to move at the trade deadline and he's injured. So he's going to be part of their plans in 2026. there was just a different buzz in that ballpark. And I've played in Dodger Stadium since 1993, and it was always that arrive late, leave early. I thought it was the most unintimidating 50,000-seat stadium in baseball. There wasn't really a whole lot that would make you nervous. They never really got loud, but that place is anything but that now, man. They have built something there at Dodger Stadium. It feels like the Bronx. It feels like Citi Field. It feels like Citizens Bank. They're loud. They have probably the best acoustical system. They have these gigantic speakers in center field, and the base is almost deafening. Like in batting practice, when you're getting ready, you're doing your prep for the game, and you know they're playing that music. You can almost feel like the countertop that you're riding on, it almost starts to shake. And there was just a buzz there. I took the last bus in at 4 o'clock, and very rarely, I can't ever remember outside of postseason when I work for MLB Network and we're on the field and we're doing a show 2 hours before first pitch where the gates are open and you have maybe 5,000 or 6,000 people that are down there. Normally, it's a really late arriving crowd. By the time the White Sox took batting practice, which ended about an hour before first pitch, I would say a good quarter to half of that stadium was full, and there was a buzz there. And Magic Johnson was there. James Worthy was there. I mean, it was like the who's who that wanted to be. It felt like a postseason game in July. And I can't ever recall. I was at game one of the World Series last year when Freddie Freeman hit the grand slam off of Nestor Cortez. I've never heard Dodger Stadium that loud. But I thought the coolest thing was about 6:30 for a 7:10 start, Kershaw made his way from the dugout out to the right field where the bullpen area is at Dodger Stadium. And, man, that place erupted. It felt like a playoff game. And I think John Schriff and I, that was what's so hard about it was, like, before the game, we were wanting him to get it, but we also wanted the White Sox to win. Mm-hmm. And they did everything right for 8 innings. It was a perfect script if you're a White Sox fan. You got to witness history, and the White Sox had a 4-2 lead going into the bottom of the 9th inning. And that was one of the tougher games they lost all year because, you know, very rarely does a team like the White Sox, whether it's 4th of July or a Yankee Stadium game on Old Timers Day, where it's a sellout. And that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday games in L.A., all three games were sold out. And Wednesday, by far, was the best vibe of the 3 days.
Dan, I had said to Spiegs that the White Sox did the thing that's the sum of all fears in that final inning, where you go, oh, we put two runners on. Oh, crap. Here's Ohtani. Here's Mookie. Here's Freeman. That's what you definitely don't want to do, even though their lineup is loaded. But that's the thing. Like, if you're in a playoff situation and they get to turn the lineup over, I know that there's percentages on it, but it feels like you're 100% going to lose when that lineup turns over the way that it did.
Yeah, I'll give you this is my perception. I've seen a bunch of Dodgers games because a lot of them are on our air. If you want to beat the Dodgers, you have to get the bottom third of the order out. You have to get 7, 8, and 9 out. You hit the nail on the head. When that lineup turns over for a fourth time, and I'm telling you, I've seen enough of the Dodgers the last 2 years. Mookie Betts in the 4th inning, Freddie Freeman in the 5th inning, they'll have a 2-pitch at bat, they'll pop up. And I looked at John when they were loaded and Wilson came in and Freddie came up. I looked at him and I kind of gave him the this one's over, because the Freddie Freeman that hits in the 8th and 9th when the game is on the line, he's not going to swing at the first pitch and pop it up in the infield. He took a pretty good backdoor breaking ball. It just hit a bullet to right field. Mookie Betts hit the sacrifice fly with the bases loaded. But I guess when I looked at the game overall and you looked at it, I don't want to say it's not a fair fight, but when you look at what the Dodgers are putting out there on the field, and it really resonates when they get in close games in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, Tommy Edman all of a sudden is the guy that puts the ball in play. I think, by the way, people have asked me, you know, who does Meidroff remind me of? Hmm. He reminds me of a Tommy Edman kind of player, man. He is a heads-up player. You look at him, you're like, you know, he doesn't look the part of a middle infielder. The guy is a baseball player, and that's kind of what Edman is for the Dodgers. He's a pesky guy down at the bottom. He gets on base. He works deep counts. He can run a little bit. And as soon as that lineup turned over, the White Sox were in trouble.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've talked about Nico Hoerner as a possible comp for Mydroth, and Nico and Tommy Edman were teammates at Stanford. So kind of makes all the sense in the world. Boy, what a resource Dan Plesac is, playing all that time in the bigs and then MLB Network, a couple years as a player with the Cubs, and now getting a chance to see the White Sox up close. Unbelievable. So let me ask you something that crosses over. Should the Cubs trade for Adrian Hauser? What is happening here with Adrian Hauser?
Should he have been the all-star of this team?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Well, you know, good for Shane Smith. But, like, is Adrian Hauser this good? What's gotten into him?
Yes. And a resounding yes. Listen, I don't know how to hit. I don't know how to run the bases. I don't know how to defend. But I think I'm a pretty good – when you're talking about pitching, he's remade his body, got released last year by the Mets, went home, and I think the best thing he did a self-evaluation and said, okay, what I'm doing isn't working. I have to make some changes. Changed his diet, got himself in great shape, cleaned some little things up mechanically, cleaned up his pitch mix. Listen, in a day and age where pitchers are all trying to do the same thing, they're trying to chase velo, they're trying to chase spin, but the really good pitchers, and you saw one last night at Wrigley, and Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd's not going to blow up a radar gun, but Matt Boyd can do what you have to do if you're not overpowering. You have to be able to command your pitches. You have to be able to throw a curveball 1-0. You have to be able to throw a changeup 2-1. You could throw a changeup 2-1 and bounce it, but it doesn't do you any good. You have to throw a changeup 2-1 to a good hitter in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning that looks like a strike that hits the bottom of the strike zone. Hauser's mix of pitches. He's got enough juice. He's 95 to 96. Nice, tight breaking ball. He'll throw the changeup at any time. And I was more impressed with him because he did something that a lot of pitchers are scared to do. He tied Ohtani up in knots twice in really tough spots. There's a hole in Ohtani's swing. It's about chest to belt high right on that inside corner. You can get him there, but you can't miss. And you can really get him there 2-1, 3-2, because he wants to get those arms extended. He has like 3 or 4 inches on that outside part of the plate that he can cover. He's a mountain of a guy. I mean, unless you've been up close, there's been two guys since I've worked at MLB Network that they came out of a dugout. We do this thing 30 teams in 30 days where we spend a day with the team. We get to interview most of the main guys. Two guys have walked out of the dugout, and I was like, God damn. Aaron Judge and Ohtani. Like, when Ohtani, I interviewed him last year, and he walked up to do the interview with his interpreter. I was like, damn, that is a mountain of a guy. He and Judge are the only two guys that, and I'm the big guy, 6'5", that when they came up and I'm standing there with a microphone, I'm like, man, these are grown men. But I think getting back to Hauser, he used his changeup, he used his fastball, and he came in a tough spot with a runner on second in a one-run game. And he went right to that inside hole and popped them up in the infield, and he did it twice. It takes guts to do it, but more importantly, you got to execute the pitch to do it. And that's the difference. You're looking at Hauser. He's a finished product. And Shane Smith, the last 3 or 4 starts, the stuff is there. Listen, he was great the first 2 months. But from watching him now, 3 starts, he just doesn't have that one pitch right now that he can go to. Like, he has a 3-2 lead going into the 5th inning, 7-8-9-8 order. I got to get strike 1. He's spraying the ball around a little bit too much. In April and May, it was strike 1. He's got a really good changeup and a great power curveball, but he's constantly 2-0 to 2-1 to 2-2 to a foul ball to 3-2. And you've got to be a really experienced pitcher to be able to manipulate like off-speed pitches 3-2. Listen, you could throw a 3-2 curveball and if you bounce it, you're going to walk good hitters. And I think what some of the young White Sox pitchers are seeing now, I mean, facts are facts. You're going to pitch in the minor leagues, and they've all been successful in the minor leagues. But if we're being really honest, the 9 guys that are in the lineup in the minor leagues, there's a pretty good chance 6 of them are never going to spend a day in the big leagues, right? It just is what it is. And there's a reason why. They can't hit the curveball. They can't hit the breaking stuff. They're wild swingers. Where at this level, when you're playing good teams, Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Páez, Kike Hernandez, Will Smith. There's a reason those guys are making $18, $30, $50 million a year. They're great players. They're finished products. And Shane Smith in L.A. and yesterday in Colorado, you know, he started that game off against the Dodgers last Wednesday. Three pitches, got two outs, then a walk, a base hit, and another base hit. He's just in that little funk. And it's the same as pitchers, Matt. You hit your way into a slump, and you've got to pitch your way out of it. The problem is when you're a young pitcher, you don't have enough reps. You haven't had the ups and downs to know, okay, this is what I have to do to get back in the strike zone. And sometimes it's something really simple. For me, in 18 years, was I wanted to land on the ball of my foot. If I landed on the ball of my foot, everything fell into place. And these young guys, there's so much going on that they're trying to establish themselves. They're always worried about, you know, they want to go into the fifth and they want to go into the sixth inning. And the most important thing, if you talk to all the pitchers that have been around, that have been successful, it's a very slow-moving game after you have experience. But I can tell you my first year in 86 with Milwaukee, man, it was going a million miles an hour. I had several games, Matt, that I sat down after inning was over. I gave up four hits and four runs, and I couldn't remember what the hell I threw to each of the guys. Because it's like you get in this rhythm. Oh, you do. You get in the rhythm like if you go hit balls at the driving range, right? You go hit balls, and it's one after another, and you'll hit 10 balls. You'll hit two good. You'll hit eight shitty. But the one or two you hit good, and you hit the same club, and you just start rapid firing. And that's what happens with young pitchers. You get the ball. You get on the mound. You're not able to slow it down. Who's on deck? What's the score? What's the count? I need to throw a strike. The infield's in. What's my best chance to keep the ball on the ground? They just don't have enough experience yet to slow it down. There's a difference. There's Adrian Hauser. There's Matthew Boyd. All the really good pitchers, they've all been at the top. They've all been knocked down. And it's constantly getting knocked down and getting back up. And I tell guys all the time, when I was my last few years, you have to get to a point where you're your best pitching coach, you're your best scout, and your best evaluator, because only you know how you feel that day. You can go through a scouting report, Ethan Katz could say, hey, we want to throw first pitch, fastball, and you need to use that curveball. Use the curveball, it's your best pitch. Some days you don't have the feel for it. And you're trying to, you know that's the report, but you don't have the feel for the curveball. But after you pitch for a while, you go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to establish it at the bottom part of the order. I've got 7, 8, 9. I'm winning 4-1. I'm going to throw first pitch curveball to the 7-hole hitter and get it over for a strike. And then all it takes is one or two that you land for a strike, and you're like, ah, I found it. But when you're a young guy going through that Dodgers lineup, you're scared to death to throw a first pitch curveball. Hey, I want to throw one and get it over, because you're always afraid, hey, I just don't want to flip one up there and it gets hit in the gap and all hell is going to break loose. It's a learning curve.
My goodness, Dan Plesac, that was unbelievable stuff.
We really appreciate you, man. We got to bring you back to just have a conversation about the art of pitching. That was fantastic. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and you want to stay away from that book, Matt, like Up and In, Down and Away. It's 2-0, now what do I throw? Strike one's the best pitch in baseball.
Strike one is the one. Thank you, Dan. You're the best.
You got it, guys.
Nice to have you back on the Score.
That's Dan Plesac.
Plesac 19.
Hey, a 19. Lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff. That Adrian Hauser endorsement?
Yes. Yes. He's dead on.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, though, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Phish Sunday, July 20th at the United Center. Tickets are at Ticketmaster. When you hear a Phish song coming out of break, you should probably keep listening, I would tell you. You could be the sixth caller at 312-540-0670, and we're going to give you a pair of tickets. Stick around. Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Hi, Boog.
We're a very important radio show, you know?
Yeah, you are. So very important.
I mean, do people have any idea?
That was my sincerity there. You want me another reading of that?
Yeah.
I'm going to count you down, okay? In three, two, one.
So very important.
Oh, perfect. That feels nice.
Yeah.
Afternoons on the Score.
Two guys have walked out of the dugout, and I was like, God. Aaron Judge and Ohtani.
I figured it was going to be Judge, but Ohtani was the other one that did it for police act.
And like I was telling you guys during the break, that's Cam Newton, too. Like, you... Spiegs, I'm in the studio over at NBC Sports Chicago, RIP, and I'm sitting there with Alex Brown, okay?
That's a big guy.
And Brandon Marshall.
Also a big guy.
And then Cam walked in.
A bigger guy?
Yeah. And you go, oh, okay.
That must have been daunting on the field of play.
Yeah. Trying to tackle him. Like, ending up in a situation where it's one-on-one. And you have to, and you just meet the guy and you're like, oh, I get it. I get it. Exactly. Dan Plesac said it correctly.
He was feeling it. Danny was feeling it. He was feeling the comfort level, chatting us up.
I always look at that mostly as a compliment.
Oh, I do too. It means they're comfortable and they forget they're on the radio for a second. They're having a real conversation.
I need him to do that on a White Sox broadcast. John Shriffin, this should be your goal. The next time that you are working with Dan Plesac, if someone doesn't hit the dump button on you guys, then shame on everyone.
I'm telling you, when he went into that talk about the Dodgers bullpen during the game.
It was awesome.
The other night, just like what the experience is like.
I know that you wanted more. You were sitting there going, I want more of that.
Like, yeah, no, his partner didn't ask him, didn't follow up. I don't know if he's listening. But we were listening, which is why we talked about it. And then he gave us more. How about like the angle being right? Can't you imagine as a bullpen pitcher how that helps you get locked in? You're able to look down at the catcher and see the ball game behind you, see the umpire calling balls and strikes, locks you into the headspace, and then the mound is popping and you feel like you're throwing a hundo and you're actually throwing 90. Let's go! I got to look at his numbers, Plesac's numbers at Dodger Stadium. As a visitor.
Oh, yeah.
As a visitor. Well, because he was never a Dodger, Spiegs. That's the second time I did that.
Last season was actually pretty good.
With the Phillies? So that's the second time that I said something that could not be any other way. His numbers at Dodger Stadium as a visitor. He was never a Dodger.
Did he finish injured? Is that what it was? Because his last season would lead you to believe there was more there. He was in 58 games at a 2.7 ERA.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I wonder how.
And maybe you're like, I've made enough money. My arm is tired. I want to go home.
Also, earlier when talking about Top Cat, as one does on sports radio, I said that he was wearing in the picture a vest with no sleeves, and somebody correctly pointed out, yeah, no vests have sleeves. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Whatever. What I meant, he was wearing no shirt under the vest. It was just like a vest over his furry top of his, because he's a cat. That's
Cam Newton.
What's his problem?
I don't know. He dresses like a cat.
I think that dude
literally looks like a cartoon cat.
It's Top Cat.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Shane Gillis. Go ahead.
You're making sure nobody in the world thinks that you said that.
No.
I appreciate that.
I definitely don't want that smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Cam is good. He said I had good dap.
Oh, really? Did
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's big.
He's like,
that's like a top five guy to get dap props.
He literally
from.
Was like, "You from the South Side, aren't you?" And I was like, "I sure am."
Oh man, that is some cred.
We had a good time.
Cred there.
It's the first time that I ever had someone over there because of the way that the day was set up, hang out after the interview, because I think we went to a White Sox game or something after that, and him and B-Mars just hung out for an hour. And just talked with the crew and stuff.
That's cool.
It was pretty great.
The White Sox have announced that tonight they're going to honor Bobby Jenks with a moment of silence. And they plan to wear a 45 uniform patch.
Oh, I like that.
For the remainder of the 2025 season.
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Great.
See, the Cubs last night had a moment of silence and put his visage up on the big screen. Thought that was classy. So, yeah, a lot of people around the game understand what Bobby meant to the White Sox and their fan base and the quality of that team in 2005.
Yeah, I want to read a couple of quotes because we didn't do that earlier and we probably should have.
Well, you know what? You should share the Rick Hahn quote again because that's exclusive. Lawrence has a friendship with Rick Hahn and he won't come on. I don't know why. I don't know what that's about. I blame Alex pretty much. Don't you, Tanny? Like,
yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
He doesn't like me.
Yeah, well.
You know. I've done a lot to make him mad.
Or it could be the things that, you know, I've said or other people have said on the radio station. I don't know. But anyway, Lawrence got an exclusive quote from Rick Hahn about Bobby Jenks. It's quite beautiful.
He said this. He said, I asked him if I could get a quote on Bobby, and he said, sure, give me a minute. And then a couple minutes later, he sent me this. He said, this is a little wordy, but true. Bobby Jenks will rightfully always hold a prominent place in the hearts and among the happiest memories of Sox fans from his era. I hope the fact that his memory will forever be a source of joy for so many people provides some solace to those of us fortunate enough to also know how kind of a soul was taken from us too soon. That's from Rick Hahn.
Man, yeah, that's beautiful. Kind soul. That's lovely to think about and to know. Sometimes you don't know, you know, and if you've been close and you've had a chance to play with a guy, chance to be on a team with a guy, be on the inside like that for a number of years, you get a chance to know. So that's really cool.
And it was nice to see like all of the ex-teammates that came out and said some things too.
Oh, yeah.
About Bobby Jenks. And I thought that was beautiful. And Paul Konerko had made mention of like how much fun of a guy that he was and how he thought he was special. Here's a couple quotes from the guys themselves.
I got Konerko here if you need it.
Here's AJ. AJ said, terrible news about Bobby. He came to the major leagues with some of the biggest expectations and lived up to them. Bobby was a larger-than-life figure, and fans related to him. He overcame a lot early in life to have a great playing career, and after his playing days, he did a lot of positive things to help himself and others. I was fortunate enough to catch him in some of the biggest games in White Sox history, and I will never forget jumping into his arms after the last out of the World Series. He will be missed by all of his family, friends, and teammates.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Reed Konerko.
Here's Paul Konerko. Just a sad day for his family and friends, former teammates, and all White Sox fans. Everyone remembers him as a big guy and tough competitor who could throw 100, but he was really a big teddy bear off the field. Bobby was such a big part of our success and was on the mound at the end of the game for some of the biggest wins in White Sox history. He truly will be missed by all.
This from Ozzy. Bobby Jenks is one of my all-time favorite players. I love that man. This is a very sad day for everyone involved with the White Sox. Everyone remembers the moment when I called for the big fella in the World Series, so the bobblehead of that moment will be a great way to keep that moment alive for White Sox fans. Everyone has a favorite story about Bobby, so the 2005 reunion will be a great opportunity to get together with all his teammates and coaches and relive some of our greatest memories of him. That's beautiful. And all of that stuff is happening over the next week. Mm-hmm. The Burley statue is going up on the 11th, so they'll have an opportunity to talk about Bobby and share and cry and laugh and drink and all of that stuff. And I love that.
And the complete, are they doing a bobblehead with the four complete game pitchers? I mean, that's awesome. That's super cool. Four complete game pitchers from the 2005 postseason. Lawrence, last night, seventh inning stretch got booed.
What?
Yeah. I think there might be, is it time? Is it time?
To boo seventh inning stretches?
No, is it time to do something to make this not happen? Make, you know, to be careful about who gets the invite and kind of protect it a little bit. Because that was...
Okay. I mean, if you have thoughts on it, I'd love to hear them. Let's do that next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Spiegel & Holmes.
Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
This would be one of those moments. Pick up a phone.
Yeah, do they throw fish at you? You look.
They throw the fish at you. They really do. We're doing that. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, we like to give people stuff when we can.
Texting with my wife, who is a fan of, if not the podcast, Call Her Daddy. She's a fan of Alex Cooper.
Call Her Daddy.
Call Her Daddy.
Call Her Daddy.
Alex Cooper has a reality show that now about her and writing a book and all this different stuff. But this seventh inning stretch last night was rough.
Okay.
Time for the seventh inning.
I heard it, and I was listening on radio.
You haven't seen it? So I'll tell you, because it's important. I'm glad you asked.
Because I didn't feel like it was that bad.
Lawrence, she turns to the camera, and so she's not even looking at the fans in the stands. She's not leading the group and singing.
Oh.
She turns to the camera, and she's doing like a TikTok-style dance routine.
So she put something together to do like audio visual.
She's got two friends behind her doing like low-level dance moves that they just had choreographed during the game, probably. But like, yeah, she's trying to create a viral video moment.
At
Wrigley, and not at all interacting with the crowd. That's the visual component to go along with this audio component.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for asking. Here's Tanny.
Time for the seventh inning stretch. Here is Alex Cooper, creator of Call Her Daddy and CEO of Unwell. Take it away.
To the ball game. Creator of Call Her Daddy and CEO of Unwell, Alex Cooper.
All right, Daddy Gang and Cubs fans, are you ready? You've never seen something like this before. A one, a two, a three.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care. Never come back, so let's root. For the Cubbies, if they don't win, it's a shame. So it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old game.
Well, that was a unique rendition of our seventh inning stretch by Alex Cooper, creator of Call Her Daddy and CEO of Unwell.
Yeah, you normally don't get that kind of crowd response, so that was interesting.
Seiya Suzuki digs in.
I'd get a kick out of it. No, Fred Willard. No, you wouldn't. If you were alive, Fred Willard is turning over at his grave.
I'm glad you explained it to me, because I was on my way to Fox, and I had heard Zach say that he needed to clear out of the booth for the seventh inning stretch. And I was like, why?
Because they had a freaking dance routine mapped out.
So I was like, okay, that seems strange for one person to sing.
So she was making an absolute mockery of a tradition that is beloved by lots and lots and lots of people. And if you don't like it, or you think it's silly or stupid, that's fine. But if you get asked to do it, you should have some respect for the tens of thousands of people who are there and love that moment. Your job is to serve the fans and lead the song, not to try and create something on your own for your own viral moment and do a phony character voice and giggle your way through it. It's completely disrespectful and pisses me off.
So look, we're in a different place with the game of baseball and media. And now we're Heritage Media. I understand her trying to make this beneficial for everyone. The idea being, you guys asked me here so that my audience would watch your game, theoretically, okay?
Mm.
And her being like, I'm going to take this moment and be able to give it to my audience the way that they're used to consuming what I do, which is probably more so by video than it is by audio, and saying, okay, great, now I've got the setting. Like, this is now my stage to do this thing. So I think I get what she's trying to do.
Sure, I get what she's trying to do. She's trying to make it all about her. All right, Daddy Gang and Cub fans. No. Cub fans and anybody who happens to be in the Daddy Gang who happens to be there. You're a guest, man. You're a guest in their thing.
But you're still thinking of it kind of analog. She wasn't talking to the people who were there. She was talking to the people that are there.
Yeah, no, I get it. And that's disrespectful because it's about a moment for the people that are there. That's what it's about. Whether the homage to Harry is a part of it or not, it's fun to sing the song. It's rewarding emotionally to sing the song.
I agree. I also think that it should probably, when you don't have, you know, Bill Murray, it should probably just be a recording of Harry.
Yeah.
But that's, I felt that way for a really long time.
I have to hear that song again.
That's a different song.
Yeah, people don't like that.
And if you have to hear that song, that means you lost.
Yeah, it does.
And it's not good for anybody.
I have more thoughts. The Meatball Cub fan that I live with has thoughts.
We can talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. I think you guys had to like hit me to who she was.
Yeah, I was
like, wait, what? So, all right, I'll do more research and then we can have a more robust discussion about it.
That's what I like about you. You do your own research. You know what I mean? You're always doing your own research.
I try.
You and Aaron. You guys really do it.
That's why I respect him.
Whatever it takes, man. Whatever gets you there.
As a quarterback. All right. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will try to do the same thing and repay the favor tomorrow at 2 here on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
That was a unique rendition.
Yeah, you normally don't get that kind of crowd response, so that was interesting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.